Hello and welcome to the Jonathan Bell Show. This is a show documenting my journey after quitting my 9-to-5 job to pursue a career being a creative. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Jonathan Bell Show. We have another behind the mic segment today. And joining us today, we have Mabinti Yilla today on the phone. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. You just told me like 10 seconds before it recorded. Just wanted to make sure that I did it right.
No worries.
Now, we know each other from Twitter. And when I tweeted out if anybody wanted to come on the show, you offered. And can you let everybody know a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yeah. I'm from D.C., born and raised. I still live in D.C. I currently operate a production company called Common Sense Entertainment. We just actually launched yesterday one of our new lines, CSE Media, which is going to be a news publishing platform. And then I also, my 9-to-5, so to speak, is my own strategic communications company called MSY Associates. We do brand strategy for organizations in the federal public sector. So that's pretty much kind of what I do.
How did you get into that as a 9-to-5?
I have like over like 15 years of like federal government experience. So, and I was doing like communications related work while I was trying to like go to law school because I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And so from that, I kind of built relationships and, you know, leaned on some mentors. And then by 2014, I was like, I can probably do this better than this company is asking me to do this stuff, is, you know, communication, especially the digital marketing side. And I wasn't getting paid enough money. And I wasn't being valued by the organization I was working for. So I was like, I'm going to freelance and do this on my own. And that's pretty much how, you know, I decided to start my own company.
And what year was that?
So technically I started my company, in 2016, MSY Associates, but I've been freelancing on and off for the last like 6-7 years doing digital marketing, consulting, brand strategy, you know, pretty much a lot of business strategy related work.
All right. So how hard was it for you to go into the freelancing, unstable world of what you do?
Oh my God. It was super hard, mostly because I'm fresh out of college and both of my parents are lawyers. So they were expecting me to go to law school. So I had to deal with, you know, them pretty much putting pressure on me in subtle ways and unsubtle ways to try to go to law school. And then, of course, student loans and then bills. So it was like I had to kind of figure out not only how to deal with all those pressures and not, you know, not give in terms of, you know, folding and just giving up and just trying to go to law school, even though that clearly wasn't my passion. But I also had to, like, deal with, you know, the pains of being an entrepreneur, where you're trying to figure out, you're trying to get over imposter syndrome, but you're also trying to figure out what your best price is, like how much should you be charging people. And when you're an entrepreneur and, you know, you just have a BA, you kind of feel like an insecure, you kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't be charging this much. But as I've learned from, you know, talking to people and my mentors, it's about value. You know, it's not necessarily about, you know, what you think is good enough for you. It's about how much value you're going to provide the client. So, and that's, you know, that varies on whatever the pain point you're trying to solve.
That's a good way to put it, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a good way to think about it. So after doing, so what made you actually want to start your own company as opposed to just keep it up with the freelancing?
Well, I mean, from a legal perspective, you get certain protections. As a business owner, you get, you know, the limited liability, you get some certain like tax protection, whereas a sole proprietorship, like, you know, you don't necessarily get protection in terms of if someone were to sue you, you know, they could go after your assets, your personal assets, whereas with, you know, corporation or an LLC, you know, people go after the business, not your personal assets.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That So yeah. Thank you for clearing that up. Appreciate
I mean,
it.
I'm no lawyer. I want to put. I don't want people to think me like, but Vinci said, you know, this. That's my understanding from my you know, talking to my attorney.
Okay.
Who still does my work? He still does a lot of my corporate stuff for me.
So is it more on the daunting side now, having your own business as opposed to just freelancing, or is it a little bit easier?
It's a little more complicated from a tax perspective and the legal perspective, but I have an accountant that does all of that. It's cool because, you know, in terms of trying to hiring and trying to get people to be contractors, it looks a little more presentable. You know what I mean? That you're actually have a company behind you versus Mabintiella trying to get people to do some, you know, video work or do some marketing work for me. So just, you know, it's more professional, and you just feel more official, and it makes, from a mentality perspective, it just made me work harder. It made me take myself more seriously.
Okay, and so what were some of the learning curves that you've learned from year one to year two, per se?
Well, I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still, like, that's part of the reason why I actually went back to school and got my MBA. I just finished my MBA in May.
Oh, congrats.
I mean, really, thank you. Yeah, I mean, really, it's about pricing. It's really kind of finding the right price point, and also, like, kind of figuring out what kind of clients you want to work with. Initially, I was working with actually music clients. I spent, prior to even doing the business while I was in college, I had created a show. It was a very popular show called DMV Live Radio. I want to shout out all the people who follow me that remember DMV Live Radio. But it was a very popular show, and some of the acts that you know today were actually on our show. And so I had developed this, like, relationship with music artists, and I was like, I can totally do branding and marketing for them. But, you know, working with artists, I realized it's not necessarily for me, because I'm a very particular, meticulous person. And with artists, you kind of have to understand how to speak artist speak, and understand that they don't necessarily believe in deadlines, and they don't necessarily believe in doing the business side of, you know, music production and music making in general. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to pivot my business and focus on, you know, doing kind of government related clients. So that's kind of what happened. So really, like, in addition to, like, kind of figuring out a price point, it's also one of the things you learn as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you know, how to, you know, what kind of customers you want, what are considered the ideal customers for you.
That makes sense. I mean, even you saying that right now, even though it's with music, I got a flashback in my mind of all the time somebody would ask me, like, how much would you charge for this? Or what? I'm just like, I don't. And so if it's like your job trying to figure this out, dealing with people that could care less about that, I could understand how that would be super annoying.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Like,
I know you're trying to be nice about it, but I could just see it myself. Because I could just see it. You're like, oh, just say something definitive, will you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an old head in the music, like, dealing with artists. So it wasn't, like, completely foreign to me. Because, like, when I had the radio show, trying to get them to show up on time was challenge. Like, I remember one time somebody was so late, I had to perform, you know, because they were late, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a time where, just to kind of give you a brief story, I was, it was DMV Live Radio. It was like, so DMV Live Radio basically was a show that was like 106 in Park meets Rap City, The Basement meets Showtime at the Apollo, or whatever that show was called.
Right.
Showtime at the Apollo. So it was a live entertainment radio show. And so we had people come in every Friday from 7 to 10 to listen to performances. And then we had a cypher at the end. And so one night, you know, my co-founder co-founder was sick. My DJ was out of town. My host was gone. I don't know. He didn't even tell me where he was. And so it was literally myself and the engineer. And it was kind of like a daunting task for me, because, like, not only did I have to deal with that, but, like, the artists that was supposed to perform was like an hour late. Like her band was there, you know, like her band was late, but they were, you know, we were able to set up and do like our soundtrack. Even though we rushed our soundtrack, we were able to do that. But like she was like the rapper singer, ska singer was like super late. So I had to like step in, pretend to be Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder combined.
Dang.
So like, yeah, I mean, to entertain people for like 45 minutes. It was crazy. But that's the kind of type of stuff that you deal with, unfortunately, with artists. It's like, you know, there's some of them can be so much in their head. It's like the business deadline and stuff like that are not necessarily priorities. They understand the importance of it, but in terms of like actually caring about it is another thing, you know?
Right. So how many, did you go straight from the musicians to the federal agent type deal, or did you explore anything in between?
Well, I mean, the musician stuff was, you know, something that I did, and I realized because musicians, a lot of these musicians were indie artists, and I, to be honest, a lot of indie artists don't have the budget to really do marketing stuff, so I had to supplement that income by doing, like, working for the government. So I was, you know, I was able to transition because I had already built the relationships in the government, you know, with different agencies, having, you know, worked on the procurement side in terms of trying to bring in vendors for the government. I was able to, you know, be able to become a vendor myself because I had built these relationships through my work with the government. So that's how I was able to be like, okay, now I'm on my own. Let's do business type of deal.
Oh, that worked out pretty good then. So you already had like 1 foot out the door for the most part.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So that's what you do for your 9 to 5. And so then what is the Common Sense Entertainment all about?
Well, Common Sense Entertainment is pretty much it's a media company. You know, it's a production, a film production company. And initially, you know, what we did was like, we did documentaries and short films. And one of our films, Radio Raheem, the Renaissance Man, was actually recognized by a few international film organizations. So, you know, we've actually won some awards for it. And, you know, it's something that we did to kind of get our feet wet and get our name out. But right now, we've actually pivoted a little bit into focus on, you know, things that kind of provide a little bit more value. Because initially, my business partner, Eugene, and I, you know, we met each other at University of Maryland. I was an English major, and he was a journalism major. And, you know, we were both very passionate about journalism. And we had a student organization called the Media House, and we were, you know, really committed to becoming serious journalists. It just so happened that we did the entertainment side because it was easy. I already had a relationship, so it was very easy to pursue that. But, you know, with what's going on today and, you know, some of my frustrations with the way media coverage exists today and some of my frustrations with how things are reported, you know, we really made a conscious effort to go back to our roots, go back to our investigative journalism roots. And so CSE Media, which is a new line that we kind of soft released yesterday, is really about restoring trust in national media. And really getting back to the fundamentals of journalism, which is about reporting the facts, about being transparent, about having a sense of integrity, and not being, you know, policed by partisan lines. You know, and we're really about being objective and, you know, nonpartisan, and that's the spirit of CSE Media and what we're trying to do.
Okay, so that's really good, and sounds like it's going to go pretty far, but you just said all that. And now I'm thinking to myself, so you have 3 things going on now.
I have more than that. Cause I'm crazy. I'm crazy. So I have a lot more than that, to be honest.
What I want to ask is like, how do you divvy up the time between all the projects that aren't your job? And since you, and I guess I should say your job, because if you obviously have your own business and you, right, you know, so you have to have time for that. You have to have time for all your other things. So what are some of the things that you do for time management, and how do you decide how much time to give to each project you have?
Well, the beauty of being a leader and having a team, so I can always delegate. So that's one, being able to delegate tasks. And then I'm like super organized. I really rely on like Google Calendar. Trello was a new thing that one of my clients actually introduced me to. It's a project management software. And, other project management tools kind of help me keep myself organized. And I'm really big on dry erase boards, because I always, every week, I kind of write down what I need to get done for the different sectors I'm working in.
That's pretty smart.
That helps me. Yeah, and that helps me kind of make sure I'm not missing anything. But the big thing is having a great team. I have my Common Sense Entertainment, my CSE media team is fabulous. Like Eugene, shout out to Eugene, Raheem, and Brittany, Jay, and all the crew. They're, everybody kind of understands their role, and, it's more of a collaborative effort. Like the spirit of how I kind of like manage is like, I've always wanted to do like Camelot, King Arthur, Camelot, with the whole idea that pretty much everybody has a voice. Obviously, Eugene and I are the, president and founder, president and vice president of the company. But, we really give our folks ownership in a sense of independence in that way. And so having that team who are self-starters, who are motivated, who take ownership really helps, lighten the burden for me.
I mean, it is nice to have a team, so I can see that. I didn't know how much of that stuff you did by yourself or with other people. So I guess that really does help. So one of your goals then do you still want to have your own business doing this? Like, do you love doing your job, or do you want to try to transition more into like the CSE area?
I want to do both because I'm crazy. keep it 100. I'm kind of crazy in that respect. I'm very ambitious. I have, media is my passion. I was talking to a friend the other day, and because I literally just bought the new Lois Lane comic, and I was talking to her how like she was, that fictional character played such a big role in my, wanting to be a journalist, because like, she was such a, kind of revolutionary, and kind of takes no prisoner investigative journalism. That spirit, I kind of felt like, even though she's a fictional character, that spirit we kind of lose, especially when, we're tied to corporate media. That spirit of getting down to the truth, of being fearless. A lot of journalists who work for these big corporations, they are afraid to speak out. They're afraid to, tell the truth in many ways. Tell the full truth, let's say, not piecemeal truth or not slanted truth. And so that's part of the reason why I'm really excited about CSE Media. That's probably going to, hopefully be something that we may build or whatever. But I love that. But I also, at the same time, I love what I do with the public sector, because I really believe that. I really like solving problems, and I did get an MBA in management consulting, so I should probably use the degree. It would have been a waste of $80,000 or whatever the heck I paid for my business degree.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, what are some things that you're learning to work with CSE, as in like starting it up, and is it like, are you going to go print to Twitter, or how do you plan on getting these ideas out of your head with media and journaling in today's world of technology?
Yeah. So the strategy with CSE Media is basically, we're going to have some video content we're going to be working on. We're going to put together, we're going to start doing production pretty soon for that. And then, so the idea is to have, to report, news, and pieces that are, really important to the public interest, and not just like your usual national news, but what's going on in our communities. Like, for example, in DC, we have gentrification. We have so many different things that are going on in our city. So there's going to be a big focus on that, and doing like video pieces, short video pieces. We're looking to do some series. We actually started a series called Damn, That's Good, which is a cooking series. I mean, a food series, not cooking series, but a food series. So it's going to be a lot of different pieces that are kind of for the public interest. So that's one element of CSE Media. The other element for sure is, you know, we not only want to develop and cultivate a community of conscientious, politically savvy folks who are hardcore news junkies, but we want to continue the conversation offline. So we don't want people just to watch our content or read our content. We want people to be involved in their community and discourse. So I truly believe that the most powerful and most impactful discourse happens offline. So what we're going to do is continue the series that we created while we were at University of Maryland called, it was basically a panel, media panel series. So basically what we're going to do is some of the topics that, you know, were covered or some of the popular topics, we're going to have a panel discussion where subscribers can actually ask questions. She asked a journalist question and be able to explore that particular topic in more elaborate and kind of collaborative way. So yeah, we're really trying to change the dynamic and how media is consumed and then on how media is a vehicle for the community.
And what gave you this idea? Like, what was the epiphany birthing moment where you thought, hey, this is something that I really want to do?
Well, honestly, if I have to be completely honest, you know, when you're a business owner, sometimes you got to look at the business and see, okay, what works well, what doesn't work, and you have to be honest with yourself. And I felt at some point with Common Sense, you know, we weren't really making the impact that I wanted. And it also just so happened that for my business school to graduate, I had to do a capstone project. So I had to do a strategic plan for my business and for a business, but I just chose my business. So it was kind of like the combination of needing to do it, seeing a problem with my business, but also like I also need to graduate. So that combination, you know, kind of inspired the direction that we're going in, because I had to really do a lot of thinking in terms of, okay, how are we going to make revenue? How are we going to get impact? How are we going to create impact? How are we going to do all of this stuff? And I had to really break it down, because not only were they part of my assignment, but it was like, you know, this is something that I had to really think about for my business. So it was a little bit of that.
Oh, so that wasn't too long ago.
No.
And you're already making moves on it now, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, trying.
Yeah, make it. So obviously you have to pretty much rely on social media a little bit to get the word out and, you know, promote and get yourself out of all the ideas that you have in your head.
Oh, for sure.
All right. So here's the thing, like, because you know how a lot of people want to start stuff, but they are so against like social media using. And so what would you tell the people that don't want to, like, are so against like Facebook ads or don't want to like get on Instagram more than like 5 minutes a day, or like refuse to get a Twitter, or like don't want to get on this and that? Like what would you tell those people?
Well, a lot of those people are my clients, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the government world. Like, the government doesn't see the value. Certain government agencies don't see the value of social media. But it goes back to, because I see a lot of people on Twitter, like, you got to be on social media, you got to be a social media. It really honestly depends on your target audience. You know, the way you should approach digital marketing is from a strategic point of view. You got to know your audience. Is your audience on Twitter? Is your audience on Instagram? So start there. Identify who you're trying to target, and identify what channels that they are using. Because it doesn't make sense to be on Twitter if nobody your customer is on Twitter, right? Like, for me, you know, for a lot of government agencies, you know, certain agencies can't be on Twitter because of the nature of the work that they do, versus other agencies where Twitter and having that customer service relationship is a pivotal part of what they do. So it really depends. So that's the first thing. The other part, okay, once you, if you find that social media is something that you should do and something makes sense, you know, there's so many automation tools. I'm actually just got in, you know, actually just got a call. I've been doing a bunch of demos to figure out which automation companies I'm going to use for what, for a couple of my clients. You know, there's so many. There's the, I mean, of course, like the, a lot of the bigger agencies, a lot of big firms use like HubSpot and stuff like that to deal with their marketing automation. But like, you can even use something like Hootsuite. All right, you don't want to, you don't have time to be on Twitter. Spend an hour a week or 2 hours a week to schedule your posts for the next month or so. That's what I do for my own personal, like my own Nabula Twitter. That's pretty much what I do. I take an hour and I schedule my, what, you know, what my tweets are going to be.
Oh.
And you can do that pretty much. Yeah, you can pretty much do that with any of the platforms. You can do it with Facebook, you can do it with Instagram, you can do it with Pinterest, or, you know, certain platforms allow you to deal with Pinterest. It's more about, you know, again, having a strategic approach, you know, identifying your target audience, identifying, you know, what channel they use, and then investing the time into actually putting the post together. And then crucially, what a lot of people don't do is measuring the reach. Like, okay, doing, like, Twitter, for example, if you go on Twitter analytics, you can see exactly, okay, which topics are of interest to your followers. You know, what device they're using to tweet, to look at your content. And so if you get all of that data, you can tailor your content to meet specifically to the needs and interests of your particular audience. So you have to be a little bit, you know, it's not enough to just tweet every day. It's about being strategic about it, using data, using, you know, content management tools, and really being, you know, precise and again, strategic. I hate using the word strategic over and over again, but that's really what it is. And that's part of the reason why I don't need to be on Twitter that much, because I got automatic tweets. I shouldn't be giving my secret away, but 100% keep it real with you guys. You know, I definitely, a lot of that stuff is automated.
Dang, sorry. I had no idea.
Sorry. I mean, I definitely, obviously, like, I'm keeping it real. Like, obviously, when, like, Arsenal plays, so this is the time when it's definitely me. Like, when my soccer team Arsenal plays, or if I'm, when I was watching Krypton, I was live tweeting, or when I watched Supergirl and hate tweet Supergirl, I'm that's me. But like, I don't necessarily have the time to be on Twitter all day, so I gotta automate it.
Right. Now that totally makes sense. It does. And I'm actually looking at your profile right now, and it says you write too. So what is it that you write?
Oh my God. So I have a when I was in high school, in college, I was in this poetry group called Black and Brown Voices, and I'm a published writer, public poet.
I don't use my real name.
Yeah, I don't use my real name though, because some of the poems are very personal, and I pretty much write when I'm in the mood.
Right.
And so I do like a lot of poetry, and I am getting into the screenplay writing business, but not quite, because I'm kind of like busy. But I am trying to get to that, but. As far as writing, that's kind of a lot of what I do, poetry stuff.
Oh, really deep down personal stuff that you don't
want. Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Exactly. I don't want anybody knowing. Except the people who subscribe to the publication. They can, you know, they don't know me, so I don't even use my real name, so it's all good.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that little identity secret there. That's cool. But that is cool that you have an outlet, though, to express yourself and you know, without having anybody know what's if it's you or not. And to be honest with you, as public as I am with everything that I do, there is still like one part of, there is a website out there somewhere that nobody knows about where I post stuff on that I know, like, if people happen to see it, they'll see it. If they don't see it, they don't see it. But it's something that I've never, ever, ever publicized before. So if people ever just stumble across it, then they found it. But I could definitely understand the appeal to that, because sometimes it just, sometimes you just want to put stuff out in the world and don't want any feedback on it, but you want somebody to see it. So I could understand that.
Yeah, and I'm a very private person. Even with my friends, I'm like, they're like, you're so guarded. I'm like, yes, because I'm very private. You know, I'm like, it takes a lot for me to, you know, trust people and open up to me. That is, I mean, that's just not me. You know, to be that open and transparent with people like that, which is kind of ironic because that's the whole thing with our media company. But our media company would be very transparent. in terms of my personal life, I don't put it out there. And those poems are so personal and so emotional in some ways that I don't really want people that I know to know that about me, know certain things about me. So I just put it anonymously.
Oh, that's understandable. I can understand that. I totally can. I get it. So there's that. I want to ask you too. So what number one piece of advice would you give somebody going about starting their own business?
Honestly, I would tell them to pick up. I actually have it with me, and shout out to Professor Cohn. Who also follows me on Twitter, which is awesome. He's my entrepreneurship professor. His book called Running Lean by Ash Mora. Iterate from plan A to a plan that works. So what I'm saying is learn about the lean canvas approach in terms of kind of figuring out how to start a business in terms of like, from the idea development to developing the product or service to the pricing, all that stuff. Yeah. This book really prepares a startup on how to kind of begin the process. So I would start with that. Get a mentor. That's really important.
They are pretty important. I'm sure. Besides the mentor, you have a close circle of friends that you could talk to about all your ideas and stuff too, I'm sure.
I do. And I love them to death. I'm just blessed with like a lot of folks in my circle are just doing it in their perspective careers, and it's motivational and inspiring for me.
Because I'm sure it's a whole big iron sharpens iron kind of group going on right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how important that is. That, you know, if you want to start something, whether it be like a YouTube channel or a podcast or your own business or this and that, you surround yourself with people that are motivated like you in whatever field they want to go into. It's a big difference in like, you know, telling a bunch of people that you think would be excited for it. You're like, yeah, it's cool. You know, it's totally different to have, you know, people with a like-minded, like, go-getter attitude in your corner.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, one of my friends is works for one of the biggest law firms in the country. And, you know, she keeps me on my toes, like, all the time. I just saw her on Thursday. She keeps me on my toes all the time. And my good friend, who I'm hoping will one day get into politics because she's that fabulous, you know, she's always inspired me. She always says I inspire her, but like she's always inspired me because when we were in college, she knew immediately she wanted to be a lawyer, and she didn't mess around with that. Like I was kind of messing around with that because I didn't really want to be a lawyer. I was like, I kind of want to please my parents because I was kind of weird like that. But she knew from, you know, the moment she got to college, she took criminal justice. She was an honor student. She did Clio. You know, she did, she took the LSAT prep courses with Kaplan Super Serious.
Dang.
And now she's like, she's a pretty important lawyer in the D.C. area. So, you know, having that people like that who are focused and ambitious, it just makes you, you know, be on your game. You know, you can't half step. I can't half step with any of my friends because they're all on top of their game. They're all doing it big.
I like it. It's good. It's good. It's a good way to be, honestly. I need to find more people like that in my circle. For real.
You'll find it. You're super cool, man. I love your. I love your positivity. I love your video channel. Some of your advice. I love the fact that I'm a big Superman person. So obviously, Superman. You know, I was super happy to see, like, you know, especially a brother in particular, like, cosplaying a Superman and doing it right. It was just like, I really admire you. So I'm sure they're like super awesome people in your circle. They just need to step up and say, hey, I want to be super awesome like Jonathan. You know?
Well, thank you very much for that. It always catches me off guard to get compliments like that. But thank you. I appreciate that. All right.
Yeah, no problem. You're super cool.
Well, thank you. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, Twitter. You could find me on LinkedIn, but I mean, yeah. But Twitter is pretty much the main one until we get the website up. Well, God willing, we'll probably get the website in sometime in the fall, and you'll have a lot more information about me and my background. I'm also working on my reworking my website for my consulting company, so that's coming. But really, if you really want to know about me, Twitter.
Matt
MABYILLAH.
MABYILLAH.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Awesome. Mabula.
So before we conclude the behind the mic segment here, is there any last words that you wanted to tell or talk about?
No, I think that I pretty much covered it. I guess the big thing for me is, you know, whoever's listening, do you, honestly. The internet has democratized a lot of work, and so there's a lot of opportunity for you to be able to do whatever you feel like you need to do, whatever your passion is. So do it. I mean, it blows my mind that how little people know about, like, Coursera and Udemy, and some of these, like, free, you know, educational platforms. Like, you don't even need to go. I mean, I went to business school because I kind of needed the structure, and, like, in the federal sector, you know, MBA really helps attract clients. But I mean, there's so many resources online that are free or cheap that you can use to advance your career, or, you know, help with whatever marketing activities that you need help with. And it just blows my mind that not enough people use it. And so, you know, definitely take advantage of all of the free resources that exist on the internet, and above all, network. Network your butt off. Don't be shy. I was never this extroverted in high school. You can ask any of my high school friends. I was kind of quiet. You know, so, like, I couldn't interview some of the artists that I got to interview by being shy. I had to learn how to network. I had to get out of my comfort zone. And I had to go out in the streets and talk to people offline. You know what I mean? I'm just talking to people online because there's a lot of value talking to people online. But, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, talk to somebody in a coffee shop. That's literally how I met my friend Raquel, who I hope will be on your show, who's an amazing, brilliant screenwriter. She's next, in my opinion. And that's how we went. We met each other randomly in Silver Spring at a coffee shop. And now we're, like, trying to do a lot of cool stuff together. So, you know, take a risk and you know, make things happen.
That's so. All right, I'm just going to ask you one thing. So I know it's.
You can ask as many questions as you want, Jonathan.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, and I'm not introverted, so it's easy for me to tell people that. And like you said, you weren't always this introverted. So when you say with such ease, like, get out and do that, how actually easy was it? Or did you, like, have to work up to it a lot, or, like, make yourself go out every other day, or, like, force yourself to say hi to somebody? Or what was your learning curve on coming out of your shell and networking?
Well, because I had to. Like, my editor wasn't going to give me the contacts for Nas or Talib Kweli. Like, I had to go to the, you know, go to the clubs and go to the different venues and talk and convince people and use my charm and be persistent. And then naturally, having talking to people, and it kind of builds confidence. And then so now, you know, I can talk to anybody, really, a billionaire, you know, someone a person who's making, you know, a lot of money, to somebody on the street. I have like no problem doing that. So it's really like, you have to psych yourself out. You have to get into your head. It's a necessary evil that you have to conquer. That's the first step, getting over the fear. And then the other thing is doing it, actively practicing networking skills, go on YouTube and looking up social, you know, communication skills. I'm constantly, you know, trying to improve my communication skills, because I know they're not the greatest. You know, they're all right, but I can be better. So that's the first thing, is getting over your fear. And again, realizing you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to really get to where you want to be without networking. That's the reality of all the people that you love, all these celebrities and artists and, you know, comic book writers that you love, a lot of, you know, they got there through networking, you know. That's the key to the game.
Yeah, I need to utilize Twitter more for that too. Some good advice. I should be taking your advice on that, because I really don't as much as I should be. I laugh because I'm like, dang it, Jonathan, she's just telling you everything that you should be doing right now.
So, Jonathan, I'm going to flip it up on you. How can I help you, Jonathan? What are your pain points?
What are my what points?
Your pain points.
I don't understand what that means.
Oh, like what are some of the things that you're working with or you're struggling with, in terms of, you said, you know, the networking and trying to be like, what is kind of blocking you from doing that? Is it time or?
Oh, no, it's just that I say networking, like trying to, because eventually I would like to make money doing this somehow, you know, but I also realize that that's going to take a while, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think it's more of me just being patient with everything and just realizing that it's just time. So it's not really anything that I have to work on now. It's more so like, you know, it's understanding that 2 or 3 years from now is when stuff will really start happening. It's just me being consistent with everything, really.
That's honestly the key, really. Consistency is like the most important.
Right.
Other than, you know, obviously provide excellent service in whatever you do, but consistency is the most important thing. Not giving up is crucial.
I 100% agree, which is why I'm out here in the middle of nowhere doing this stuff every day. So,
yeah, I mean, and, you know, you'd be surprised. People are watching. Like, don't, you know.
Oh, I know. They don't understand how analytics work and stuff. Like, people want to pretend like they don't see what I'm doing. I know people are watching what I'm doing.
Yeah. You never know. It could be like, I don't know, maybe, because I know you're a Superman guy, maybe one of your favorite, maybe Bendis, will be like, that Superman guy, I want to do something with him. You never know, man. Like, you know, I really think what you're doing is super cool and super relevant, and I really love this series, and I'm pretty good at judging talent and pretty good at like projections. I know that you're going to be super successful in this. It's going to happen. Because your heart and your intention is in the right place, and that good people, good intentions always win in the long run. It may take time, you know, obviously, but as I always tell people, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible.
It's a good way to look at it. That is a good way to look at it. And I appreciate the kind words on that, honestly.
Yeah, dude, I totally support you, man. Like, I always retweet. I try to retweet all your stuff. I try to look at your stuff because I love what you're doing. I'm a big fan of it.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I just said I don't take compliments that great. You're still doing it.
That's why I'm doing it for you. I don't like to
be myself. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for that last piece of advice. And like I said, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and share a little bit about yourself and let everybody know about you and the advice that you gave. It's truly appreciative, and I'm sure people will get something out of it, for real. So thank you for taking the time to come on.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. And you know, I'm really grateful to be able to like share my story and my whatever wisdom I can provide. It's truly an honor. I'm deeply humbled, and thank you so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now I'm gonna be detective and try to track down your poetry stuff right now.
Good luck with that. It's the same way when people are trying to figure out me performing as Chris Cornell. You're not finding that.
All right. Well, thank you, Mabinti, very much. I hope you have a good rest of the night.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, folks, that was Mabinti, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I hope you gained something out of that. I know I sure did. Thank you for taking the time to listen to somebody else's insight, and I'll see you in the next episode.